Hello, 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 hello. Thanks for tuning in. I am Richard Dixon. This is Talk995 and Talk995.com. Hard to believe we've been at this for almost 5 years now. We got about another, month to go before our fifth anniversary. We doing anything special for this, AJ? We having a mask party or something? Just
That's a good question.
Yeah?
I think it's supposed to be pushed back because normally,
yeah.
In June we normally do?
Usually we have a Jawbone Jam in June, but I think we'll probably aim for a July or August, something that will work in keeping with the social distancing guidelines as they narrow. Like I said, I was out over the weekend and I saw more and more people hanging out without masks on. I saw more and more people who are more comfortable with, I think, a lot of people celebrating the end of the mask mandate in the state of Alabama, which is okay with me. I've already had the Rona. It's tough to get it again. It does happen, but rarely, so I feel pretty good about all this.
I got one more vaccination to do on the 21st.
Coolio.
Yeah.
All right, you're not that far away from it. That's good news. That is good news. We'll try to get a Jawbone Jam. I guess this would be for year 5, even though it would only be like the fourth Jawbone Jam. We'll call it the fifth one just because it's year 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Leland's band will play, and I'll put a band together, and we'll play, and we'll have ourselves a party and raise money for a good cause, as we always do with these things. So we'll give you details on that. Cash Domino Killers got together yesterday, speaking of getting the band back together. Notice how I'm taking all of his suggestions so seriously. Cash Domino Killers got together yesterday in practice. We're playing at Sugar Creek Supper Club coming up on the 15th of May. So mark your calendars. 15th of May, that would be the Sugar Creek Supper Club. It's going to be a good time. We put on a great show. If you like 50s rock and roll, we are the right people for you. Mr. Buggs brings you portions of today's show, MRBUGGS.com, MrBuggs.com. They are statewide now. They handle my pest control and have for better than 2 years. I really love a company that is focused around me and my needs. They don't say, well, we got a cookie cutter approach and everyone gets the same thing. No, you tell them what your problem is. In one area, you may have roaches. In another, you may have more termite problems or carpenter bees, or you could have an ant situation. You could have a spider situation. You could have silverfish. You may just have a situation with your lawn that seems hopeless. They can do some turf management on that and greenify it up for you. Mosquito reduction, rodent control, they do it all. At Mr. Buggs, MRBUGGS.com, MrBuggs.com, 900-3433. Their prices are more than reasonable, and the people are top-notch. Mr. Buggs, 900-3433, or statewide, 844-MRBUGGS, 844-MrBuggs with 2 G's. There you go. So I mentioned that we've reached a point now where and here's the good news. There's what we always considered to be the mainstream media, right? Which all the usual suspects, NBC, CBS, ABC, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post. That's about it. That's like those six, seven entities kind of made up what we consider to be CNN, throw those in, six or seven, entities that we consider to be the mainstream media. The good news is that while they have added a few, MSNBC and the Boston Globe and the LA Times and the Daily Beast and things of that nature, there are as many that have sprung up on the other side. Fox News still falls closer to the middle than any of those far left-flung organizations, but still a bit to the right. Newsmax TV, OANN, there's a whole bunch of different, and of course then you got the Daily Caller, and you've got the Bongino Report. I mean, there's just a bunch of places now that you could consider to be more right wing that at least lend some balance, and more generations are being born into a world where this is the norm for them. When you say mainstream media, it means nothing, because everything is mainstream. Everything is as accessible as everything else, right? We're no longer having to, this is on TV, and then this you have to go online for. TV and online are beginning to blend to the point where there's not a whole lot of difference between the two, and that's a good thing. But there is still some legacy media, for want of a better term, that is going to now, they're going to just, and I guess this is a sign of desperation, they're going to just begin making stories up in order to try to convince you of things that are not true. And that's a sad state of affairs, But I guess it's not a surprise. What happens when people just ignore the global climate change crowd? Well, they become more shrill and they come up with even bigger threats and more dangerous predictions, right? It starts off with, in 20 years, it's going to be harder to save the planet if we don't start doing something now. And when that doesn't get anybody's attention, it becomes, there'll be no oceans in 10 years. There'll be no oceans. And that, of course, is insane. We've seen the number of crazy predictions that have been made by these idiots. And we've seen how none of them have come true. Well, that's what happens. People get more and more shrill as their predictions fail to come to fruition. So the left gives you what they consider to be facts, and you don't panic and say, well, you're right, Donald Trump is terrible. So they have to start making things up about Donald Trump to try to sell you on the concept that he's terrible, which kind of flies in the face of their claim that he's terrible. If he's so bad, why do you have to make things up about him? You should just be able to tell us the truth, and then we wouldn't have a problem with it. But no, they felt the need to invent a whole lot of stuff about him and make claims like he had called the folks in mine are losers and suckers and things like that, and couldn't find anybody who was willing to go on the record and back that up. But you could find, 29 people who say I was there and he never said that. So that's what leads to this attempted hit piece on Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, that came out of 60 Minutes. You know, people have been out to get Ron DeSantis for a long time, not the least of which is because he's flying in the face of their narrative that COVID is this big, bad boogeyman, and that the only way to fight it is to wear two masks, to avoid each other like the plague, and to shut everything down. And DeSantis said no to a mask mandate. There was one very shortly in Florida, and he took it off. He then said, no, you can't have your own mask mandate. And he opened up the state much earlier than anybody else, good Lord, at some of the closing games last year. You know, Miami, the Dolphins actually had full capacity football in their stadium at the end of last year. He was among the first to say, screw this, we're going whole hog. We're not going to hold back any longer. And the numbers of COVID cases have continued to drop. They had a little bit of a shoot up there for a second when everybody else in the country was doing it, and then right back down again. This is without masks. This is without massive social distancing. This is with students back in classrooms. This is with everything being open the way that they have it in Florida. And so the left is like, well, how dare you fly in the face of our narrative that this is a deadly thing and we all need to stay away from each other, and how dare you have success with it? We now have to sell you down the river and make you look like a bad guy. So they put together this story on 60 Minutes that was a desperate attempt to claim that the whole reason he gave this vaccine to Publix to help distribute it was because they had given him a $100,000 campaign donation. No, it turns out no. And the Democrat in charge of their management, their emergency management situation, the Florida Department of Emergency Management, said, no, in no way, shape, or form did that have anything to do with anything. He asked me, and I said, obviously Publix, because they're everywhere. And that's true. If you've been to Florida, they are everywhere. They are like Waffle Houses in Alabama. They really are. You can't go to Florida without backing into a Publix. It's not possible. And so, by the way, did the mayor of Palm Beach, another Democrat who said nothing about the story that 60 Minutes tried to say was true. And by the way, I told them they could interview me. They didn't want to interview me because they knew that I was going to kneecap their story about this, meaning that I was going to give them evidence that showed that that was not the case. Same was true with the Florida Department of Emergency Management director who said, I made myself available. They didn't interview. They came back, 60 Minutes came back. Oh, well, we tried to reach these people, and they couldn't answer on time. And they both said nonsense. We both tried to talk to them, and they had 2 days before the story aired, and they just didn't want to hear what we had to say. Ron DeSantis' office said, look, they sent us questions. We answered the questions. We said, we need more time. You know, they gave us like a couple of hours to get these done. We're running a state that's, suffering from a pandemic like everybody else. So we didn't have time to sit down and answer all the 60 Minutes questions in writing, but we did so as quickly as we could. We got it to them Friday, still 2 days before the story aired. They actually included none of that in the story. None of Ron DeSantis' answers, none of his office's answers made their way into the story at all. And 60 Minutes continues to try to defend themselves. They admit now, there were a lot of people who gave us blowback and a lot of people who said we did a terrible job, and there were some things they said that were inaccurate, But they refuse to say, and it turns out that they were right, and we're horrible people. They're not apologizing for this at all. So you can add 60 Minutes to the list, if it hasn't been there already, it should have been, to companies that are like the CNN. CNN did a story about Matt Gaetz trying to get an appointment to see Donald Trump down at Mar-a-Lago. They said, we've got a couple of different sources here that say that he tried to meet with former President Trump at Mar-a-Lago, and he was denied. And they asked for a comment from Representative Gaetz' office, and they sent back a note saying, Representative Gaetz was welcome to Trump Doral this weekend, has not sought to meet with President Trump himself. He's been mostly relaxing with fiance this week during recess. GOP establishment types can leak as many lies as they want to their friends at CNN, but a recent poll showed Representative Gaetz's constituents are overwhelmingly supportive of him, and that's the only support a member of Congress needs. And that was the beginning, middle, and end of their statement. That's the whole thing. CNN did not include that in their original story. They came back later, and they included about half of that, saying that he was welcomed into welcome to Trump Doral this weekend, but did not meet with the president, without saying that he didn't bother to seek. This has been, the Gaetz story, by the way, has been run entirely without evidence. There has not been a shred of evidence. Now, I don't know whether or not he did the things he's accused of or not. What I know is that I watch these things very closely. I haven't seen the first shred of evidence that he has been involved in any of this. Not one shred. Story upon story, all of them with undisclosed sources, every one of them with anonymous sources. And again, the stories get more and more desperate and larger and more crazy as we go along in an effort to try to sell you on the concept. But again, I have yet to see one shred of evidence attached to any of these Gaetz stories. And people are calling for him to resign. I say the same thing about this that I said about Cuomo when people have been calling for him to resign. I wouldn't resign until we had the results of an investigation. I wouldn't resign until we had somebody come up and go, yeah, he did these horrible things and these horrible things and these horrible things. And some impartial person who was able to actually, after doing an investigation, could come out and give you an impartial reading on the thing. And then you can discuss whether or not to resign. Or you can say, look, I'm going to run again. Just don't vote for me. You don't want me in office? Don't vote for me. You think I'm doing a good job? Vote for me. See how easy that is? I don't think Cuomo should resign. I don't think Gaetz should resign. There's a whole lot less evidence about Gaetz than there is about Cuomo. And yet they continue to try to sell you on this. And it's shameful. There was a time when the media would never in a million years have used two anonymous confidential sources to verify each other. Never would have happened. And that was within my lifetime. That literally was 20 years ago. 20 years ago, and I would go so far as to say even as few as 14, 15 years ago, there were some news organizations where you would never have gotten away with putting a story forward saying, I got this from anonymous sources. Your editor would have looked at you, read the piece, handed it back and said, when you get someone to go on the record, we'll run this. And that would have been that. Those days are sadly long since gone. Okay. Like you need me to tell you that the press is biased. Let's take a break. We'll come back. I'll calm down. And I'll start talking about food and get the band back together again. It'll be awesome. Stick around. 220 Talk 995, talk995.com. Chance Landscaping and so much more. Just handled my lawn work again today. And I know that when I get home, I will have a freshly mowed, freshly trimmed, freshly edged lawn that looks absolutely fantastic. You can have the same deal. Look, here's the thing. You don't have to sign some long-term contract. You don't have to get on board for forever in a day. You can have them come out and do it one time, once. Just call them and say, I need this done one time. Don't tell them even, if you do a good job, I'll keep you around. Just say, I just need this mowed this one time, right? And they'll tell you, okay, it'll cost this much. And, you know, do you want this done? Do you want that? How do you want this mowed over here? They'll ask you a couple of questions. And then they'll do it for you. And if at the end of it, I mean, obviously you pay them, you know, because they did what you agreed to. But at the end of it, if you don't think they did a good enough job for them to be your regular service, then don't hire them as your regular service. But I think the opposite is going to be true. I think you're going to be like, why have I waited so long? Because that certainly was my experience. To have a professional with professional tools, professional equipment, and professional speed mowing your lawn. There's a reason I got the best looking lawn in the neighborhood. You can have it too. But you got to call Chance Landscaping and so much more to make it happen. 205-821-7015. 205-821-7015. 15, Chance Landscaping, and so much more. Big stupid question of the day. Someone or something you have no sympathy for. 545-9950. 844-455-9950. The workers at Bessemer Amazon absolutely, completely, and totally voted hell no on unionizing. Do you know how many people voted in favor of unionizing? How much of the work staff voted in favor of unionizing? 16%. You can say, well, now that's a whole bunch. Half of them didn't vote at all. I agree. But clearly it wasn't important to them. If they had really wanted to unionize, that half of them would have gone and gotten the necessary paperwork and cast their ballots. Instead, out of the half that did vote, it ended up being 2/3 no, 1/3 yeah, which means there was no union. Now, the reasoning behind this is sort of interesting. Analysts went and had a few interviews to ask, and what they generally got was workers wary of the cost of union dues and not persuaded that the union would be able to significantly add to their pay or improve benefits. I work hard for my money, said Melissa Charlton Myers, 41-year-old employee there. Work hard for my money, and I don't want any of it going to a union that maybe can get us more pay or maybe can get us longer breaks. It's not worth the risk. Really, what it came down to was job security. These folks became very concerned about job security, saying, you know, if we unionize and then somewhere down the line, Amazon has to close up one of their fulfillment facilities, which is what they call this, it might very well be us. I mean, you kind of put a target on your back then. If you have a bunch of fulfillment facilities, that's fun to say, by the way, fulfillment facilities. If you have a bunch of those and only some of them are unionized, and then you reach a point where you say, well, we don't need all of these anymore. We can probably close half of them down. Which ones do you think are going to be first on the list to get shut down? Do you think it's going to be the non-union shops? Do you think it's going to be the union shops? Because it'd be a whole lot easier, I think, to close the union shops and go, well, we don't have to worry about them anymore. Union has cited U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics data that shows union members on average earn more than non-union members. In a news conference Amazon organized Friday, some workers who cited against unionizing said they still saw changes at the facility, like adding training for managers, but they said they believe they could resolve the issues without a third party being involved. So the union, by the way, for their part, is challenging the election results. But how dare you challenge the election results of the 2020 presidential election? How dare you suggest that maybe there was some cheating involved there? Here they lose 2-1. 2-1. And they're saying, we need a free and fair election. I think we had one, guys, and I think you lost. Sorry. It's First News time. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5.
I like pie. You like pie? I like pie.
Would you like a piece of pie?
232, Talk 99.5, talk995.com. Parrot Structural Services bringing you portions of today's show. Yes, my friends. When you have a foundation problem, there are a dozen companies in the area that you could call. A dozen. I call Parrot Structural because I trust them, because they have the integrity, and because they have the experience. These are the guys who say, look, get a structural engineer. We want you to be certain. We want you to be 100% satisfied that what's wrong with your house is actually what's wrong with your house. And they'll even say, whether you use us or you use somebody else, get a structural engineer. That way you can't go wrong. Why? Because they're not going to fix it. They're just going to tell you what's wrong. Now, Parrot Structural will tell you what's wrong as well, but in order to make sure that you're 100% satisfied, that you know that no one is yanking your chain, get a structural engineer. If other companies give you a diagnosis and then you go, okay, I'm going to call a structural engineer, and they say, oh, no, don't do that, then you've got the wrong people, okay? Parrot Structural, ParrotSS.com, 668-2626. They're licensed, they're bonded, they're insured, they're E-Verify compliant. That's Parrot Structural Services, ParrotSS.com on the World Wide Web. The big story, Minneapolis having to call out the National Guard in the wake of another police shooting. Dante Wright is the guy who had a warrant out, felony warrant out, apparently in possession of a firearm he wasn't supposed to have. He was stopped at a standard roadblock. He said he was pulled over because of air fresheners or something like that, but they said that there was a roadblock in the area and they were pulling everybody over. Probably checking IDs and things like that. It happens from time to time. Anyway, they found out that he had a warrant, and they tried to get him out of the car and take him into custody, and he decided to hop in the car and try to make a run for it. Never a good idea, but what we are understanding now is that the police officer on the scene, there were several, but one of them, reached supposedly for her taser, grabbed her pistol by accident, and shot and killed Dante Wright in the driver's seat. He actually managed to get the door closed and got the car taken off, but then wrecked a couple of blocks away because, well, he was dead. I've had my hands on both a pistol and a taser. Now, I will say this. I've never done that. I've never had my hands on both a pistol and a taser in a moment where it was a crisis, where it was like, you have to make this decision quickly. That's never happened, but I've held each of them in my hand, and they feel remarkably different. They feel remarkably different. There's not a lot of similarity, aside from the fact that they're both kind of shaped like guns, right? One of them is a gun, and the other one is a taser and shaped somewhat like a gun. But there's not that much similarity between the two. But she was making a split-second call here. Not to say that this excuses somebody. I mean, there's a man dead here, and that's terrible. The question is this. Does every single police shooting of an African American automatically call for riots? And the answer, I think, is no. Certainly there are, I can see protests. I can see there being some anger. I can see people being upset about this. But explain how looting Foot Locker, which they were doing, those who were rioting were looting Foot Locker. Explain to me how that helps the situation. Does it? Because I'm inclined to say no. I'm inclined to believe that that's not something that is actually moving the conversation forward or improving anybody's life, except, of course, the person who got the shoes from the Foot Locker, apparently. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Part of the problem here is that it's relatively easy to whip people into a frenzy about something that's incorrect. That is to say, you can take any sort of moment. I mentioned the police shooting of a black late teen. I think it was 19, may have been 20 when he got shot, in Milwaukee. That happened in 2018 or 2019. You know, you're going back a ways here. But Milwaukee was whipped into a frenzy over the fact that this young African-American gentleman was shot by police. And it wasn't until 2 days later that the information came out that, yeah, he may have been shot by police, but he was shooting at police when it happened. Marching in the streets for justice for fill in the blank is one way to go, okay? But when you then have to explain, well, now, hold on, here's where you're off the mark, and then I have to give you a long and involved explanation about what's going on, when I have to give you a long involved, well, but here's why what you're marching is wrong, because it turns out that that gentleman was firing at police officers after he had committed a felony, was caught in the act of committing a felony, and engaged in police, within a firefight with police, so of course they shot back at him. That's how that works. That's going to happen. But that's, you have to give this lengthy explanation, much like the Derek Chauvin situation. Well, they kneeled on his neck for all this time. Well, if you watch the video for 7-8 minutes before he was ever on the ground, you can see him claiming that he couldn't breathe. You can see him saying that he ate too many drugs. You can see him refusing to get into the police car and actively resisting arrest. You can see him lying down of his own volition on the ground. You can see the officers, the arresting officers, calling for an ambulance and checking again to see how long, how far away is the ambulance? How quickly are you going to get here? But that's a long, tedious explanation. It's just easier to say, bleep the police, they all suck, right? Yeah. Mike is in Homewood. Mike, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind, man?
Excellent. How are you today, Rich?
I'm exquisite, as always.
Of course you are. Just want to make a really obvious and probably, in your case, completely unnecessary point. But, you know, there's a continuing theme to all of these shootings and the subsequent riots that occur, and that is criminal behavior.
Huh, no, shocking.
The simple fact of the matter is that the people who have been, I'm not endorsing shooting people, don't misunderstand this, but I think in every case that I can think of where certain people have been shot by the police, they were criminals. These were people who had already shown a complete lack of respect for society and its laws, and therefore had a criminal history, in some cases a considerable criminal history. And of course, the response, ironically enough, is more criminal behavior. You know, at some point, the people who want to advocate for these people need to take responsibility. I'm continually amazed, and again, I'm not judging this particular situation, but I can kind of expect what's going on based on the recent behavior at Foot Locker. You know, you have these situations where the parents and relatives of all these people come out, and suddenly they're defending this person because they were this, that, or the other, whatever. Well, where was your responsibility to that person when they were a drug addict, when they were a burglar, when they were an armed robber?
Yeah.
Where was your responsibility then?
Right.
You know, it's beyond the pale. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, I don't know any other way to describe it.
Amazing to me.
Begetting criminal behavior.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that people are lionizing folks like George Floyd. You know, this guy was a drug addict. He had been in rehab multiple times. He had to have Narcan used on him a couple of times, which is amazing to me. That it seems to me like to have Narcan used on you more than once is like, really? So you died, like you were clinically dead, and you had to have Narcan used on you, and your immediate response was, think I'll go back and do some more drugs. Okay, so they're lionizing this guy, or they're lionizing the guy in Wisconsin that was a rapist and had, you know, multiple warrants out for him and was scuffling with police and tried to get a knife into his hands when he was shot by police officers. Oh, this guy's a hero. Why are we holding these people up as someone to be lionized? We shouldn't be. They were bad people. They were bad people. Well, but that's not to say they didn't deserve to be shot or killed. I'm not saying that.
No.
But for the love of God, let's not pretend that they were some sort of special individuals. They were actually really terrible human beings.
Well, if the people who claim to represent this sector of society, and again, I'm not picking on, I mean, I'm sorry these people have a drug problem. I mean, that is their own choice to be involved in drugs, but I do feel for that. I've known alcoholics and drug addicts in my own life, and I mean, it's a terrible thing. But, you know, you have to take some personal responsibility, and I don't care what your upbringing is. I don't care if you were brought up in the inner city or out in the country or whatever. If you've chosen a criminal path, you have to choose to not be on that path any longer. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, that's not saying that the police in every situation are right. It's not saying that whoever this recent officer may or may not have made a right decision. I don't know. But the fact is, when you put yourself in the position of being a person of interest to the police, you probably, in most cases, have done something wrong. And all you have to do is put up your hands, cooperate, shut your mouth, and go along with it. If you're not guilty, eventually you'll be out. If you are guilty, that's what you deserve. I mean, not the shooting, but the imprisonment or whatever.
Yeah, arguing and trying to do physical battle with police officers attempting to arrest you, never a good idea. It never pays off.
Somebody's going to end up hurt, yeah. And it's going to be probably the person who's
almost always
going to
be you. Almost always, yeah.
Don't fight them. Don't fight the cops.
There
you
go.
You're an idiot if you do that.
Sums it up right there very nicely, Mike. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, sir.
It's true. You want to talk about who I have no sympathy for? That's the big stupid question of the day. What or whom do you have no sympathy for? Perfect example. People who are told you're under arrest and decide, this is the moment that I'm going to make my stand. No, no, you do that later in front of a judge. You want to argue about getting the handcuffs on and getting in the back of the car? Not going to end well for you. Not going to end well for you. Never does. Oh, sure, somebody may paint your face on the side of a building, but you be dead. Your family may get $27 million, but you be dead. And by the way, we now find out, and I had this piece of information last week, but just didn't get around to it. Now seems like as fitting a time as ever. Remember Ahmaud Arbery, the guy who was supposedly just out jogging when he ended up being shot by a father and son in the state of Georgia? This is a guy, oh, he just went for a jog and he got shot. It turns out on four separate instances in the past, in cases where Ahmaud Arbery had been detained, had been arrested, and in two cases had been convicted, in two cases charged for drops. But in four separate cases, Ahmaud Arbery had used the I was just out jogging defense before. Four cases, two of which led to convictions because he was actually engaged in shoplifting. The I was just out jogging defense, not a good one either. 2:44, quick break, back in a flash to wrap this up. Stick around. So you've been done wrong. Or somebody says that you done them wrong. Uh-oh. So what exactly do you do? Well, you get yourself a lawyer, and that lawyer should be Chuck Davis. I say it should be Chuck Davis. Why? Because he's my lawyer, and he does a great job. ChuckDavisLaw.com, ChuckDavisLaw.com. Personal injury, medical malpractice, slip and fall, automobile accidents, wrongful death. He does all of that. Plus, he does estates and wills. He's doing $99 simple wills right now. Divorce and custody. He does a litany of things. He's a general practice lawyer. So you make your initial consultation with him, which will cost you nothing, okay? 823-9992, 823-9992. You'll see Chuck Davis, not one of his minions, not one of his subservient peoples. No, siree, Bob, you'll talk to him personally, tell him your story, and then he can tell you whether or not you have a case. He's not going to waste your time or his. That's what I love about him. ChuckDavisLaw.com, 823-9992. If for some reason you are in such a state from your accident that you cannot make it to see Chuck Davis, he can make arrangements to come see you. That is ChuckDavisLaw.com, 823-9992. No representation is made that the legal service is provided or superior to legal services provided by other attorneys. So Joe Biden's got a big tax plan that he wants to lay out to pay for this ridiculous infrastructure, which is the vast majority of which is not infrastructure, but now they're trying to redefine the term infrastructure, much in the same way the left feels the need. See, if it doesn't fit where they stand, then they just change the definition. Well, this is racist. Define racism. Racism is the belief that the people should be judged by the color of their skin and that people of one skin color are inferior to people of another skin color. That's not what's being practiced here at all. Well, we're redefining the term to involve what you're doing. Oh, okay. So now words just mean whatever the hell we say they are, right? Like we talked about cancel culture. And people say, well, that's not cancel culture. That's the company themselves deciding that they're not going to do. Well, that's what cancel culture is. Companies being pressured to engage in activity that they otherwise wouldn't even consider by people who are so woke, they're concerned about other people having their feelings hurt. It's nonsense and it's ridiculous. But we just, you know, start redefining and redefining and redefining until suddenly nothing is cancel culture and everything is racist or infrastructure. It's one of the two. Either it's racist or it's infrastructure. Take your pick. If it's infrastructure, we have to have it. We need to fund it. And if it's not, well, then we don't. So I told you about the lies that were being told about the number of jobs that were being created here. 19 million jobs, they say, over the next 10 years with this infrastructure plan. That's a load of crap. It would be 16 million without the infrastructure plan and not quite 19 million with, and that's assuming that they're right in their numbers, which they never are, by the way. Never. Do you have any idea how much each one of these jobs would cost, assuming that they come to fruition as claimed by the Biden administration? How much would each one of these jobs cost under this fantastic infrastructure plan? $666,000. $666,000 per job if this thing were to come to fruition. Look, A year and a month ago, the United States had the lowest unemployment rate in my lifetime. Lowest unemployment rate in my lifetime. We didn't need a government program to make that happen. You know what we need to do? We need to take the masks off. We need to protect those who are the most vulnerable. We need to keep vaccinating. And we need to get back to business as usual. That'll make it happen. If your main concern is actually having jobs, this is how it's done. If your main concern is making sure you control where those jobs are, who gets those jobs, and what kind of jobs are created, well, then you're playing in a different category entirely there. And of course you need an infrastructure plan because that's all going to be government funded, right? That's how that's going to be done. Starting to suspect that maybe it's not about the jobs. You're starting to suspect that maybe it's about having more control. Because that seems to me that what all this administration is about. We're told, well, this COVID thing isn't over yet. And it's not going to be over for a long time. Maybe by the 4th of July. Maybe. We can allow you to have a small gathering. Yeah, I don't think I have to check with the government before I have a gathering or I don't have a gathering at my home. Pretty sure I don't have to check with the government on that. This thing is on the wane, okay? We're watching it happen. One-third of America's had the virus. One-third of America's been vaccinated. We're really ready to demask, still keep the most vulnerable safe, and get on about our business, and we can bring this economy back, roaring back to life literally within a couple of months. There are people who don't want that to happen, and they happen to be running things. Talking about the Joe Bidens, the Kamala Harrises, the Nancy Pelosis, the Chuck Schumers. These are people who absolutely thrive on having control and power over you, the average American citizen. Their goal is to make sure that you don't do anything unless it's either subsidized by the government, approved by the government, accepted by the government, or benefits them in some way. Yeah, we really made some bad choices there in November. I say we as if I had anything to do with it. Some of the bad choices involved allowing things like mail-in voting. Okay, that's it for me. I'll be damned. Leland Live comes your way next. I'll be back tomorrow at noon. Talk at you then. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Bye-bye now.